I liked it though. I liked it.
Zach, yes. I like that. Y'all doing all right this afternoon? I want to thank the brothers who led in service up until this point. Well, it's always good to see brothers working and doing their work of God. And we want to just continue to grow and encourage each other as we try to become better at serving God, both publicly and privately. So it's glad to have that you guys are all back today. And we're going to get right into the scripture. Is that all right? We read it this morning, but we'll read it again for emphasis' sake. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting in verse 1. And as for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and the thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he may show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. This morning we looked at this passage of scripture, and really, as you think about this passage of scripture and Ephesians 2, it really is laying out the scheme of redemption. Okay, and what God or what Christ did in order for us to be able to be saved, in order for us to see him in peace. And there are two common themes that run through the book of Ephesians, but especially through chapter 2. The first theme that we talked about was this morning is God's love. And we talked about the who, when, where, what, and why of God's love. The second theme that is equally prevalent in this passage of scripture is God's grace. Now, in order for us to be saved, there are two things that have to be working simultaneously. And I need you to understand this. First, we already understand that there's nothing that you or I can do to be saved. Right? That is something that God allowed us to do. And even on our best day, without both love and grace, we will fall short. All right? Now, when I say this, I want to make sure that you understand, because the Bible says it in Romans, shall we live in sin because grace abound? And it says, God forbid. So I don't want you to think that I'm saying that you should not try to please God because of love and grace. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that even when you do your very best, you will fall short, and love and grace has to cover the difference. All right. So this morning we talked about God's love. This afternoon, I want to give you four quick points on God's grace. All right. And this is easy to remember. Right. This is right up my daughter's alley. So she should be taking notes, because she just got paper from me. I don't know what she thought she was going to do with the paper, but I'm assuming it was to take notes of the sermon. Now, I know what she's going to do. She's going to start writing some pretty pictures for me after church. Her and Rachel always draw a picture. I love it, though. But this is real simple. We'll use them as acronyms. The first thing about God's grace, look, they're getting pencil and paper out now. You see that? Sister Core trying to help them. It's all good. The first thing that we need to understand about God's grace is that God's grace, and this, you can write this G, because we're going to just spell out grace. G-R-A-C-E. And then you'll be able to go home. The first thing that you understand about God's grace is that God's grace is great. Okay? God's grace is great, meaning that we understand that grace is unmerited love and favor of God towards man. But God's grace is great, meaning that God's grace is very difficult to describe. God's great is just the best adjective that we can find
in trying to define God's grace. But we all understand that great is one of the highest compliments that anyone can get. So God's grace is big. God's grace is large. It's beyond comprehension. God's grace is great. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it's a gift of God." God's grace is great because it brings pardon. Yeah, that should be a shout there. Pardon, purity, purpose, and purpose for our lives. See, what pardon means is that there's something that you deserve, right? Just a few months ago, there was a young lady in the news that had been convicted of a crime that was a heinous crime, but the facts of the crime is that she was put into this lifestyle as a teenager, right? And if you remember, the governor pardoned her. That means that she had created a crime, had been found guilty, or had been convicted of the crime, was due a deserved punishment, and the punishment was taken away because of the acts of the government. You got it? So when I say God's grace is great and it pardons you, what that means is that you have committed a crime. You have become guilty of the crime and deserve punishment for because of your guilt. But because of God's grace, the crime or the punishment that you would receive, you will not receive because God has taken it away. Amen. God's grace is great. It gives you pardon, purity, peace, and purpose. That's the first thing. So make sure you write down grace. G, God's grace is great. The second thing that God's grace is, R, God's grace is redeeming. Redeeming, meaning that it brings you into the right standing. It brings you back to where you were as if you had never committed the crime. So watch this. Two very closely aligned thoughts, but different in the same right. So the first thing is that God's grace is great, which means it's pardoned you from your sin, meaning that you don't get the punishment that you deserve. Got that? Y'all got that already, right? God's grace is also redeeming, which means not only do you not get the punishment that you serve, you are also brought back into right standing with God as if you had never committed the crime. Y'all following that? So God's grace not only pardons us, but it redeems us. In Titus 2, the Bible says that we are justified by grace. And because we're justified by grace, we should be made heirs of eternal life. See, when he says we should be made heirs of eternal life, that means that we should be looked upon by God like his son. Because an heir is someone who receives the benefits of the father, the inheritance. Y'all here with me? I'm almost through. If y'all say amen, goodness. An heir is someone who receives the benefits of or inheritance of the father. So when God's grace redeems you, it puts you in the same place as his son, and we are sons of God, which means because of his grace, we are able to receive the same benefits as his children. You got that? Woo, y'all trying to make me work hard. God's grace is redeeming. The third thing, God's grace is abundant. A, God's grace is abundant. All right? So in 2 Corinthians it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you may abound in every good work." What it's saying is that God gives you abundant grace, a ton of grace, so that you will be able to do a lot of work. Y'all see that? So it's not good. It's the purpose behind, or one of the purposes behind God's grace is because it frees you up to be able to move and do work for him. See, if you are enchained, which sin will make you, y'all follow me? If you are in prison bars because sin will make you a slave, it's impossible for you to work as a slave. If you are locked up, let's go real. If you get locked up in the prison, up the street, it's some stuff you can't do because you're behind bars. Well, when God's grace is great, God's grace redeems, it's abundant, meaning that God then breaks the shackles So you are no longer behind bars. You are no longer constricted by sin, but the reward or the benefit of what you should do, is the evidence of you being released, is that your work should also be, should abound like the grace that God gives you. What hurts us many times is this, is that we receive abundant grace, but we do shoddy work. I just had to leave that there for a minute. See, God's grace is abundant, but it's abundant because he expects for you to be abundant in the work that you give. It's the byproduct of him releasing you. See, if I release you from your sin, if I release you from chains, then what you need to do is go tell the people about what I did. And the way that you tell the world that you have been freed from sin is by the work that you do. It's not by the things necessarily that you say. It's by the work that you do. So there is no shortage of grace. His word says that God's grace is abundant, and it renews in man day by day. Woo, ain't you glad about that? And I know that's true because we talked about that a few Wednesdays back when it says God's mercies are new every morning. So God's mercies, God's grace is renewed in you day by day. You saying, you sure about that, Brother Mason? Yes. Here's the scripture for it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15 and 16. God's grace is renewed in you, in your inward man, every day. So if God gives you abundant grace every day, and the reason why his grace abounds is for you to work, if the grace that abounds is new every day, then the result of his grace being abound, if he gives you new grace every day, that means you should do new abundant works every day. So it's not like, oh, I got here on Sunday, I worked real hard because God gave me grace. If the grace became new on Monday, then you got to work real hard on Monday too. If the grace is new on Tuesday, then what? You get the idea. So A, God's grace is abundant. The C is that God's grace is comforting. I'm so glad that God's grace is comforting. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. He says, and God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So what Paul is saying is that God gives us this type of grace that not only frees us to do good work, it also comforts us when we are tortured by the things that go on in our life. Have to look far for God. You don't have to, if you could just embrace the idea that God is gracious, then you can understand that God is a comforting God. Because he's giving you something that you do not deserve. God's grace is comforting. God allows us, like Paul, listen to this, to be tested and tried to strengthen us. When Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, he got something. So God's grace does not mean that you won't be tempted or tried. It just means that when you're tempted or tried, if you stay close to God, you can be comforted at the same time. Y'all hear me? See, sometimes we go through things that hurt, but we can be going through something that's difficult and have comfort. If another word for comfort, right, is peace. So that's the reason why it says in Philippians 4 that there's a peace that surpasses understanding. The reason why it's difficult for people to understand is because your peace does not necessarily align with what it is and what you're going through. But the reason why you're able to overcome that is because God gives you something that you do not deserve, and that thing is grace. G, God is what? Great. Huh? All right. R, God's grace is what? Redeeming. A, God's grace is what? Abundant. C, God's grace is comforting. And then the last one, E, God's grace is enduring. That might be my favorite point. And the reason why is the Bible says in Ephesians 2:7, we just read it, that in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of grace. What does that mean? In the to come means that it will last forever. If something lasts forever, that means it will endure whatever it is that you go through. You hear me? God's grace is enduring. It's everlasting and it's enduring. There are some people that will stand by you when times are rough. I mean, when times are going well. There are very few people that will stand by you and walk with you and endure the same thing that you go through. There's people that say, he's struggling with this. Man, I'm going to pray for him. I'll catch him on the other side. He about to go through a storm. All right, well, you know, I ain't going to be able to stop the storm, so I'll see him when he come out. I'm going to pray for him, man, while he's going through it. But it's very few people that will say, oh, my goodness, Darwin is getting ready to go through a storm. I see that he's struggling with something. Let me walk with him. They won't endure the pain with you. But God's grace is everlasting and it's enduring, which means that whatever it is that you may face, it will be right there with you as you face it. And it never runs out. I'm so glad of God's grace, because God's grace, sure enough, is great, redeeming, abundant, comforting, and enduring. Amen. As you go through this week, just think about that. Keep that in mind, that whatever it is that you're going through this week, the one neighbor that you have with you is God's grace. It won't leave. It's not going to weaken. You know, some things you use, they just, you know, like the battery on my cell phone. If I use my cell phone, my battery going to begin to die. It weakens over and over time. As a matter of fact, at a certain point in time, it goes from green to yellow. That means you need to slow down with the usage. And then it goes from yellow to red. Red means it's about time for you to stop and plug it up. And then after it gets red, it just cuts on off. Well, that's not the way God's grace works. God's grace will continue to work. It does not weaken throughout your week. You might say, well, Lord, I had a, sure enough had a rough Monday. Guess what? Because you get new grace on Tuesday, it's going to be just as strong on Tuesday. So make sure whatever it is that you're going through throughout the week, you recognize, embrace, and celebrate the fact that God has sent you grace to endure. It's great. It's redeeming. It's abundant. It's comforting, and it's enduring. That's what we offer you to come to today if you're not a Christian. We offer you to be able to walk down this aisle and just admit, say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I want to tap in to that grace that you've been talking about. I want to be with him. I want to be a partner. I want to be an heir. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be able to embrace all of that abundant grace so that I can continue to work. You can do that by hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And some of you have already done that, but you just forgot how good God was. And maybe you just want to ask, not for grace, because you're already getting it. You might just want to ask for prayer that you recognize the grace and that you walk in the grace because of your realization. You can do that right now as we sing the song of invitation.